Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener-supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Well, there's so much going on out there in the world today that it's hard to know where to begin, I suppose. Russia finally admits to destroying NATO's deep underground command bunker in Kiev. This was quite a stunning development. I reported about it a couple of weeks ago. Russia is now acknowledging they use this Dagger missile to penetrate deep underground, and they took out possibly hundreds of NATO, including U.S. officers in that deep underground bunker who've been running the war. In fact, we know now because of the revelations of the latest Pentagon leaker, this Air Force National Guardsman, that in fact, U.S. and NATO were in Ukraine preparing the Ukrainian army to resist the Russian intrusion they knew was coming because they were faking the Minsk Accords, that it was insincere. There was nothing to the Minsk Accord. This is truly outrageous and disgusting and shatters international confidence between nations. Plus, of course, that Ukraine is losing the war. Here we get the latest report. Russian Armed Forces missile strike destroyed Shadow Navy officers in bunker in Ukraine. Russia's barrage of missile strikes on Ukraine not only involved daggers, but wiped out a camouflage bunker with a shadowy headquarters of NATO officer, War Files investigators write. As reported on March 12th by the Greek portal of political and military information Pro News, citing American sources, in the course of an operation to retaliate for a provocation in the Bryansk region, a Russian hypersonic missile Dagger struck at a joint U.S.-Ukrainian NATO command and communications center. According to Pro News, dozens of NATO officers were killed in a terrifying strike by a Mach 12 missile. In all likelihood, we're talking about the defeat of the shadow general staff of NATO in Ukraine. The secret underground bunker, built at a depth of 400 feet, housed several NATO officers, retired, and advisors. In total, more than 300 people today, according to the portal. 40 have been pulled out from under the rubble of the underground headquarters. But the most of those who died under the rubble have not yet been found. Here's an earlier tweet about it. Russia hit a deep bunker full of important NATO personnel with a hypersonic Kinzhai missile. Second Kinzhai attack hits NATO's Western Command Center, 800 meters underground. 40 killed, but actually it was closer to 400. It's not known, the portal continues, exactly how many Western citizens and how many Ukrainians were killed as a result of the dagger strike. Most of them, according to Pro News, are British and Poles. But there were also Americans and representative private companies that support communication and data transmission. In the coming days, it will be seen to what extent this will affect the conduct of Ukrainian and Western operation and attempts to stop the final phase of the Russian offensive on Bakhmut. Here's another tweet from Tyz Bascom. Ukrainian remains silent about the defeat of the NATO bunker and the death of Western servicemen. However, information in the Ukraine that a delegation of the General Staff of Ukraine visited American Embassy in Kiev, presumably to transfer lists of Americans killed in the strike. This, says Pro News, is the first such large-scale strike against the military personnel of NATO countries, and it is not known how the Western capitals will react to this. But in the event of a reaction, it would be like recognizing the active participation of military personnel in the war against Russia, who, I add, aren't supposed to be there. That's why they're so pissed off at this lowly National Guardsman who released photographs of documents showing U.S. and U.K. and NATO personnel were already in Ukraine before the Russian intrusion, that it is a proxy war, that we beefed up Ukraine's military capabilities vastly under the cloak of the Minsk Agreement, which means, of course, the word of the West is worthless. If you can sign a solemn agreement such as the Minsk Accords and do it in bad faith, you have shattered forever your credibility. According to the official representative of the Russian Ministry of Defense, Lieutenant General Igor Koneshkov, the bases of attack drones have been destroyed. The transfer of reserves and all transport of foreign weapons have been disrupted, and production facilities for the repair of military equipment and the production of ammunition have been disabled. You can take that to the bank. Unlike the words of any American source, what the Russians are telling us about the war is accurate and true. According to the commander-in-chief of the armed forces of Ukraine, Zaholny, on the consequences of the Russian strike on Ukrainian targets the night of March 8th, 9th, the Russian side fired 81 missiles, including KH-47 Kinzhal X-22, KH-101, KH-555, as well as 8 Geranium UAVs. According to Zelensky, it was a hard night, as observers noted, with the president of Ukraine, while the president of Ukraine looked like a beaten dog. The statements of Ukrainian officials say nothing about the defeat of the NATO bunker and the death of Western military personnel, who, I add, were not supposed to be there. However, information is circulating in Ukraine that on March 9th, a delegation of the General Staff of Ukraine visited the American Embassy in Kiev, as it is supposed, in our transfer lists of the Americans who died during the strike. The use of hypersonic missiles has heightened U.S. anxiety and demonstrated that Russia has a hard-to-intercept nuclear-capable weapon, the Washington Post said. United States has not yet been able to develop its own missiles with similar characteristics, which makes Western countries even more vulnerable, the authors of the material concluded. Kinzhal is the latest Russian system with hypersonic aeroballistic missiles carried by specially equipped MiG-31K interceptors. The missile has low radar visibility but high maneuverability and is designed to destroy land and sea targets. The Kinzhal complexes have been on experimental combat duty in the Russian Federation Armed Forces since December of 2017. Get this. They've had these hypersonic missiles since 2017, and we're not able to match them. 2017! Officially, the first combat use of these missiles took place on March 18, 2021, during the SVO. I think that means a special military operation, yes, which began on 24 February. As Yuri Ignat, spokesman for the Ukrainian Air Force Command, said, "We cannot yet counteract these missiles. They fly along a ballistic trajectory. We have no means of defense against them." Tests last year of American hypersonic missile in Hawaii ended in failure due to launch problems, Bloomberg reported, citing a statement by the U.S. Department of Defense. The Russian military launched a missile strike against Ukrainian infrastructure facilities with a wide variety of missiles and aerial drones, destroying NATO's secret headquarters in Ukraine, War Files reports. According to Ukraine, the attacks were carried out with thousands, it says thousands, and it repeats the type of weapon we've been described. I don't know why the word would be thousands. In Ukraine, they immediately reported 34 missiles were allegedly shot down in aid as a result of an organized response, did not hit their targets. This is doubtful, even for the Ukrainians themselves, however, who see the thousand flying through the windows. Citizens believe that the air defense, if they were able to shoot down anything in the attempt at most, were able to shoot down only a few of them. Ukrainian and even American air defense cannot shoot down the Dagger at an altitude of 20 kilometers, and after the missile gains altitude, it falls at high speed on the target and nothing can be done about it. In other words, the missile comes in low off the ground to evade radar, and then as it approaches its target, it zips upward to turn around and come down with great force in an indefensible fashion. In fact, the attack hit control and planning centers in bunkers as well as air defense radar stations. Heavy losses of officers, including Americans, were recorded. It seems that NATO's proxy shadow staff got quite a bit. After that, according to the publication, representatives of the Ukrainian general staff came to the embassy, apparently to transfer the list of those who died. I regard this as a very significant development. As a former commissioned officer in the Marine Corps, I can tell you, these guys were the ones who were actually running the war. They were running the military operation on the ground. Not Ukrainians, not at all. It was, in fact, these NATO forces officers in this command and control center. This is a form of decapitation of the head of the snake. The consequences are enormous. In my judgment, they're virtually irreparable. And Russia has, I think, in a single stroke, eviscerated the military capabilities of NATO, because without leadership, all the weapons in the world will do you no good. But the fact of the matter is, they don't even have the weapons anymore. Ukraine has been depleting the munitions they have at such a stunning rate that NATO cannot resupply them. All right. Turning from foreign affairs to domestic politics. We have an interesting development with Susan Rice leaving the White House at the same time Joe Biden, the fake Joe Biden. And remember, in addition to all the evidence I've adduced in the past, which you can find on my blogs at jameshfetzer.org, that the guy, the present guy, is not the real Joe Biden. If you go back and look, who appears to have died in 2017, go back and look at videos of Biden. For example, I used one during a program I did last night with Scott Bannon from 2007 or 2008. You got this Biden, actually, he's very articulate. His face is very expressive. He uses his hands and arms to gesticulate when he talks, just as does yours truly. So I look at that guy and I see someone I resemble and recognize, but compare him to the current guy who's expressionless, doesn't use his hands, he's inarticulate, commits, it's not the same. I mean, it's not even close. And when he was in Ireland, when he, you would have thought, innocuously scratched an itch at the back of his neck, he bolted up the latex mask he was wearing. And it bubbled. So we have no idea who actually is wearing this latex mask. But whoever he may be, he's announcing re-election. And get this, the DNC is declaring they're not going to have any debates for candidates during the primary. Why? Because they got to cover it up. This guy's such an obvious fraud. Here's the latest. Current and former Obama advisor Susan Rice just quit her job at the White House a couple of days ago. What's that got to do with the price of beans? Everything. Since Joe Biden just announced he's running for re-election in 2024. Rice's timely departure tells us a few things about the behind-the-scenes Democrat Party machination to replace Joe. Meanwhile, another fat and incompetent prosecutor, this one in Georgia, says she's going to indict President Trump sometime this summer. First, Joe's big announcement. It was terrible. He didn't even give a speech. His campaign pieced together a bunch of video clips of Joe bumbling around and some sound bites from previous speeches he's given. He's going to save democracy from the mega extremists or something. It's childishly transparent. They use the video to make the announcement because a real Joe is in a basement somewhere and can't reliably give a speech without tripping all over his tongue these days. Comes on the heels of the DNC announcing last week that the Democratic Party won't have any primary debates for 2024. I mean, how democratic is that? Everyone knows why. Old Joe can't stand and debate any longer. The barbiturate and amphetamine injection can't keep him lucid for 60 to 90 minutes any longer, as they did during the 2020 campaign. Meanwhile, Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis is preparing to indict President Trump sometime in July or August. She sent a letter to the Fulton County Sheriff demanding more security at the courthouse from July 11th through September 1st. She doesn't explicitly state she's going to charge Trump, but we all know she's going to. There's no other reason to be asking for extra security at that time. George Soros' strategy, and this article is right to nail it, Soros behind the scene using Barack Obama and heretofore Susan Rice to run the show, appears to be to have Trump indicted in Georgia right as the Republican primary debates are about to begin to give his opponent fodder they can use to attack him. They can't attack his amazing mega record, so they need something else. Willis says she's considering wire fraud and conspiracy charges against Trump because he called Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger to ask him to investigate the obvious voter fraud that took place there. Raffensperger recorded the call and then leaked it to the Washington Post because he's a lying rat face. But we digress. Well, this is another Soros-funded prosecutor like Alvin Bragg in New York. Soros doled out $1 million to Stacey Abrams' PAC in Georgia. And then Abrams donated to Willis' campaign. When she targets Trump, it will be as specious as the 34 counts that Alvin Bragg invented out of thin air. But that's not the point. The point is to disrupt and interfere in the 2024 election, since Trump is a clear front runner among Republicans and Democrats alike. He's leading hospice care Joe by 4 points in head-to-head polling right now. It's got to be greater. Which brings us to Susan Rice. Why'd she leave the White House just a couple of days before Joe's announcement? Remember a few months ago when California Governor Gavin Newsom visited the White House and nobody would say what it was about? He wasn't meeting with Kamala or old Joe. Governor Herjel was visiting with Susan Rice. The Democrat Party is in disarray right now because they really don't want Joe and Kamala to run again. They're going to have to take Joe out, whether that's through a well-placed banana peel in the White House hallway or by indicting his crackhead son. Whatever method they use, likely the Hunter indictment. Old Joe will be forced to take the deal and leave. And that will make room for the Gavin Newsom Susan Rice ticket to emerge from the shadows to save the day. Susan Rice is black, so having her on the ticket would spare the Democrats from charging the racism after they shove Kamala to the side. The Biden campaign probably spent $1 million to produce that awful announcement video. Trump immediately put up his iPhone and recorded a response to old Joe's announcement, which cost him nothing. Here is Trump's response. Let me pull it up. Listen.
You could take the five worst presidents in American history and put them together, and they would not have done the damage Joe Biden has done to our nation in just a few short years, not even close. Thanks to Joe Biden's socialist spending calamity, American families are being decimated by the worst inflation in half a century. Banks are failing, our currency is crashing, and the dollar will soon no longer be the world standard, which will be our greatest defeat in over 200 years. Real wages have been falling 24 months in a row. In other words, under Biden, workers have gotten a pay cut each and every month for 2 straight years. We have surrendered our energy independence, just like we surrendered in Afghanistan, which we had just a short time ago. And the price of gasoline just hit a 5-month high, and it's going much higher than that. Under my leadership, we had the most secure border in U.S. history by far. Never had a border like this. Under Biden, the southern border has been abolished, and millions of illegal aliens have been released into our communities. What's happening now is beyond belief. They're coming in from mental institutions, and prisons are all being emptied. They're being dumped into the United States of America. Many of these people are very dangerous. They're being dumped. We're like a dumping ground. Our cities have been overrun with homelessness, drug addicts, and violent criminals who are being released from jail en masse with no retribution whatsoever, while law enforcement is weaponized against law-abiding conservatives or Republicans or people they just don't like. Our children are being indoctrinated and mutilated by left-wing freaks and zealots. The senior ranks of our military have gone completely woke, and our military is suffering greatly. Biden has totally humiliated our nation on the world stage, starting with the Afghanistan disaster, perhaps the most embarrassing event in the history of our country. It meant so much to our enemies when they watched that horrible retreat. Russia is teaming up with China. Iran is days away from a nuclear bomb, not even thinkable. Ukraine has been devastated by an invasion that would never, ever have happened if I was president. And Joe Biden has led us to the very brink of World War III. They say Trump was right about everything. Well, I'm not predicting World War III, but I will say this. We're very close, and they're only talking about nuclear weapons. On top of it all, Biden is the most corrupt president in American history, and that's not even close. Nobody can believe what's going on with, again, no retribution whatsoever. With such a calamitous and failed presidency, it is almost inconceivable that Biden would even think of running for re-election.
Now, notice this article suggests Susan Rice would run with Gavin Newsom. I've been predicting heretofore. You've heard it many times. It would be Michelle Obama. Well, because Malek has been speaking out about his brother and identifying Michelle as a man, which is a massive evidence, and I'm, you know, going after it hammers and tong. I think they're fearful that Michelle could be outed. After all, she has a package most women do not have. Watch Michelle on the Ellen DeGeneres show. You can see there's something going on there that would not be the case if this were a woman. No doubt about it. And, of course, we have the former physician identifying that he walked into her taking a leak standing up and was paid millions for his silence. But he thinks the country needs to know that Michelle Obama is not a man who underwent a sex change. Michelle Obama is a man with breast implants and a huge shaving bill. And I have photographs of Michelle when she let her beard grow when her husband was no longer president. Joan Rivers, of course, outed all of this when she was asked after Barack was elected president. Now that we have a black president, will we ever have a gay one? And she explained to him, oh, just settle down. Obama's gay. We already have that. And, of course, Michelle's a tranny. We all know that. And he asked for further explanation. She said, transgender. We all know it. And, indeed, I think anyone who pays attention does know it. So I think that Democrats are in a bind. My belief, they wanted to go at Gavin Newsom and Michelle Obama. But I think the risk with Michelle may be simply too great, and they'll settle for Susan Rice.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, here are a couple of stories that are likely to disturb you profoundly. Explosive new study finds face masks may increase stillbirths, testicular dysfunction, cognitive decline in kids. Research finds that face coverings can cause carbon dioxide poisoning, leading to serious health issues. A new study by German researchers has concluded that face masks can cause carbon dioxide poisoning when worn even for short periods and may have contributed significantly to stillbirths when worn by pregnant women, as well as testicular dysfunction and cognitive decline in children, among other destructive health issues. As reported by the Daily Mail, the research published in the journal Helion comprises a review of 43 previously published studies on exposure to CO2 mask wearing in pregnancy. Here's a tweet by Dr. Anastasia Maria Lupas. Face masks may raise risk of stillbirth, testicular dysfunction, and cognitive decline due to buildup of carbon dioxide, study warns. The study notes that even short-term exposure to concentration of CO2 as low as 0.3% caused brain damage, increased anxiety, and impaired memory in both pregnant rats and young mice in one study. In another, when male mice were exposed at 2.5% CO2 for 4 hours, testicular cells and sperm were destroyed. The equivalent amount for human beings would be 0.5% of CO2 over the same time period. 4 hours. 4 hours. Fauci on face masks, think about it. They knew this. They knew this. There can be no doubt they knew this. Face masks, stillbirths, abortions, reduce a birth weight, damaged testicles, sperm counts, improve fertility, promote cognitive failure. Jesus. The study also points out research that found just 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 minutes wearing a mask resulted in CO2 levels increasing to between 1.4% and 3.2%. While they note that the review provides circumstantial evidence only, the researchers allude to a surge in stillbirths during the pandemic, saying that masks could have contributed. I think there's no doubt about it. I've been opposed to these masks from the beginning. I've published a dozen studies about the damage of the face masks and that they're useless because the virus is so tiny and the filters are so coarse. It's like trying to filter a ping pong ball with a hula hoop. And I even include there one from the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons, which is our leading medical professional organization in the United States, where they gave a half a dozen different explanations of why face masks do no good and why the reason they're worn in operating rooms is so that the parties wearing them won't contaminate the patient with spittle, for example, okay? It's to protect the patient from the nurses and the doctors who are operating on them so they will not contaminate the patient. Just astounding how a gullible American population has been played so massively. Swedish researchers previously found the stillbirth rate increased from 7 per 1,000 to 21 per 1,000 after the pandemic. That's triple. While leading UK hospitals saw a fourfold increase in its stillborn rate. Circumstantial evidence exists that popular mass use may be related to current observations of a significant rise at 28 to 33% in stillbirth worldwide. The German researchers asserted worldwide. They also note, the research indicates reduced verbal, motor, and overall cognitive performance of twofold standard deviation in scores in children born during the pandemic. Dr. Kevin Bass, cell and molecular biology PhD, has a detailed thread on the study, which can be linked below. Kevin Bass, PhD, MS. Before beginning, I want to point out that during the pandemic, I dismissed others' concerns about the topic and insisted on masking. I masked my children in public, and I regret doing so. Anti-maskers made me angry. I was wrong. I am sorry. Now, the thread. The findings detail with a report published by the UK Health Security Agency that concluded no evidence could be presented to prove medical-grade face masks protected vulnerable people from COVID at all. They had no evidence to show that these face masks protect vulnerable people from COVID at all. Here is Paul Joseph Watson tweeting. Thanks for admitting this 3 years later after the demeaning crap you put everybody through. No evidence face masks protected vulnerable from COVID, health officials admit. Critics say authorities are failing to prepare for any future pandemics by not examining the effectiveness of masks. Scores of studies have come to the same conclusion, yet people are still wearing masks despite all of this. Some schools are still forcing children to wear masks. Some airline and travel companies are still enforcing mask wearing. It's been common knowledge since the very start of the pandemic that masks do practically nothing. Those who resist it, even doctors, were punished and banned from publicly voicing their concerns. This goes hand in hand with the massively harmful lockdowns. When will enough be enough? In other words, MK-Ultra masking induces hypoxia, toxicity, greater slave compliance, and most importantly, higher death vax uptake. Dr. Mengele, 202, a.k.a. Tony the Rat, knew all this long ago, to wit, blast from the past. Spanish flu mortality, according to Dr. Fauci, and what really caused this. Second smartest guy in the world. No one could ever accuse Dr. Mengele, 2.0 company, of not doing their due diligence prior to rolling out PSYOP 19, soon to be PSYOP 23. From all of the COVID patients, between the CDC, NIH, Fauci et al., that they racked up over the preceding decade, to the public admission of Fauci's pals that had a profit from the next outbreak, to the collusion between Wall Street and their quadrillions and derivative products that were on the verge of blowing up in 2020 due to rising interest rates, that PSYOP 19 clearly tamped down hard. We have a fascinating bubble study from way back in 2008 by none other than Tony the Rat himself, entitled "Predominant Role of Bacterial Pneumonia as a Cause of Death in Pandemic Influenza: Implications for Pandemic Influenza Preparedness." This is something I've reported on many, many times. Published pathologic and/or bacteriologic findings from the 1918-19 influenza pandemic. Although the cause of influenza was disputed in 1918, there was almost universal agreement among experts that deaths were virtually never caused by the unidentified etiologic agent itself, to wit, the Spanish flu, but resulted directly from severe secondary pneumonia caused by well-known bacterial pneumopathogens that colonize the upper respiratory tract, predominantly pneumococci, streptococci, and staphylococci. Without the secondary bacterial pneumonia, experts generally believe most patients would have recovered. So it actually causes severe secondary bacterial pneumonia way back in 1918-19? Hint! It covers the mouth and nostrils, recirculates toxins and CO2, and induces hypoxia. History certainly rhymes, precisely because deranged sociopaths reapply its lesson for their depraved agenda. From unidentified etiological agents to invented pandemics to lab-made bioweapon agents, Dr. Mengele 2.0 is one of the most successful serial killers in the history of mankind. Do not comply. Indeed, on numerous occasions, I've observed that Fauci is going to go down as the greatest mass murderer, responsible for bringing about more deaths than all of our foreign adversaries combined. Joseph Stalin, Mao Zedong, Adolf Hitler, Pol Pot. Fauci's going to make them look like amateurs in the mass death category. He's going to win the gold prize, first place, all the medallions, records that will never be bested. And I have a report here, I'll track it down and throw it in, that we have multiple reasons for believing as many as a billion have died. Let me find it. Well, we have another report about 5 billion who would die in a war, but I'm talking about, here we go. 5 reasons to believe the global population is already a billion less than it was in January of 2020. Serious shit. 5 reasons. A billion. The general consensus was there were 7.84 billion on Earth in January of 2020. The UN reported that the global population eclipsed the 8 billion mark in November of 2022. As of publishing, Worldometer has a current global population at 8.028 billion. There have been 40 million births and 20 million deaths. For net population growth at 20 million thus far in 2023, according to the same source. The only people who believe any of the foregoing, however, also believe that men are really women and vaccines are safe and effective. As of March 2023, there are 2 jobs available in the U.S. for every 1 unemployed worker. You don't even need the ADP workforce vitality reports to know that wages have been at all-time highs since April of 2021. Just look around your local area. You'll see McDonald's, Coom and Go, Circle K, Walmart, all these former minimum wage jobs hiring at $15 an hour and up. They are forced to offer higher wages or hire illegal immigrants to entice what's left of the U.S. workforce, which ain't much. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce acknowledged the ongoing labor shortage earlier this month. If every unemployed person got a job tomorrow, there would still be 4 million job openings. Mainstream media continually blame ABV for the 2 years and counting labor dearth. The bottom line is that millions of Americans have died or are severely maimed from the lethal mRNA and viral vector DNA injections and physically cannot work. Further, U.S. birth rates in 2021 were the lowest since World War I. You cannot find a straight answer anywhere as to 2022 U.S. birth rates. They now explain it as fertility rates and ramble on about 2015 to 2019 instead of just giving straight answers about birth rates in 2022. It's not just the United States. The COVID blog is confident in declaring that the global population had dropped from 7.8 billion in January of 2020 to 6.8 billion today. About a 13% drop in the 28 months since the vax rollout. The powers that be will never report the truth on this, will do everything to conceal, manipulate, and distort the real numbers. So all we can do is crunch everything we know to determine the progress of their goal, only 500 million humans left on Earth by 2030. Former Malaysian Prime Minister Mahathir Mohamad fearlessly blew the whistle on the depopulation agenda in 2015. We boasted in August 2022 that the world population would be down to 4.5 billion by the end of 2024. It does not take a giant leap to accept that the world population is down to 6.8 today, from 7.8 billion in January 2020, because of the following 5 phenomena. Number 1, numerous countries reported record excess deaths, record low births in 2021 and or 2022. Governments are in the business of lying, particularly about crime and population statistics to fit agendas. The best example is from the Sandy Hook mass shooting That left 26 people dead, 28 including the shooter and another person at another crime scene. That, of course, would have been his mother in Newtown, Connecticut on December 14, 2012. This blogger wrote on another platform in 2014 an article entitled Sandy Hook, Line and Sinker. 2012 FBI crime report shows zero killed in Newtown. The title speaks for itself. Thus, either the conspiracy theory that the whole Sandy Hook thing was staged and nobody died that day is true, or the FBI's lying on their statistic for whatever reason. And of course, I mean, I hadn't noticed this when I began to read it. That's my own blog. I wrote that. Sandy Hook, Line and Sinker. I'm looking to see what we have here. I don't know. Did someone publish a variation? But that was my own. It's even in the book. Nobody died at Sandy Hook. We'll never know the real numbers as excess deaths across the globe due to the injections until naked eye observations are speaking for themselves. But here's the list of countries that reported record high excess deaths or record low births in 2021 and 2022. Japan, 1.58 million deaths in 2022, the most since World War II. New Zealand, 38,574 deaths in 2022, the most since 1918. Australia, record low births and record high deaths in 2021. UK, utilizing temporary morgues across the country due to sharp rise in excess death. Netherlands, more deaths than births in 2022. First time that's happened since the year 1900. 1900. Germany, virtually zero excess deaths in 2022. The numbers skyrocketed in 2021. Nova Scotia, Canada. Unexpectedly high numbers of people are dying. Philippines, 768,504 deaths in 2021. Highest in 1 year since 1945. That's just a small sample. Further, Norway, Italy, and Japan all experienced record low births in 2022. In other words, a lot of people are dying, and few are being born. We're not going to bother with the United States in this section because the government blatantly lies about everything. But if we go by the Harvard-Pilgrim standard of multiplying a MERS vaccine death by 100 for a more accurate overall picture, and at least 3.5 million Americans have died from the injections in 2021. That's 125,000 excess deaths per month, per month. Those numbers, however, are very much on the low end. More, too. There's no way of knowing exactly what's happening in China and India. World Economic Forum founder Klaus Schwab calls China a role model for other countries. Many others in high places have repeated these sentiments. China is like a very creepy real-life dystopian film. You literally cannot function in that country as a human being without a QR code and vaccines. Your face is constantly scanned. Your every mood is tracked by various WeChat apps. That's what they want here. Everything you purchase in China is via a central bank digital currency, CBDC, and a QR code tied to your social credit account. Note, the U.S. is just months away from debuting its pilot CBDC. Just months away. The role model country. Clearly, the role model country has public Jumbotron displays that instantly shame anyone it captures committing trivial infractions, including jaywalking. Your social credit score is downgraded as a result. In other words,
you're improperly crossing the street, they put you up on the Jumbotron so everyone can see and mock and shame you. Your face is scanned and tracked everywhere you go in China. If the robots do not recognize you immediately, they'll make you smile, move your hair around, etc., until there's a match. Chinese police stop people regularly on the street, take their phones and search them for illegal VPNs, Facebook, and other banned apps. You'll get social credit dings at least and arrested, or worse, if you're caught with anything you're not supposed to have. All the foregoing will be the United States in the next 2 years, probably less. We know China is dystopian hell. What we don't know is how many people are being killed by the government and dying from the injections. There are at least 380 of those death, torture, or re-education camps, partially funded by NBA New Jersey Nets owner Joe Tsai, in China's Zhejiang region. Untold millions of Uyghur Muslims and other ethnic minorities are forcibly sterilized, raped, indoctrinated, killed, and so on at these camps. Further, there were numerous videos of people spontaneously dropping dead in China as early as November 2019. So-called COVID-19 flu is a rebranded flu. Paranoia, fallacious PCR positive, and or radiation sickness via 5G. Wuhan, China was one of the first places in the world to roll out 5G in September 2019. China is 90% fully vaxxed. If you believe the publicly available statistics, we'll be right back after this break.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. That time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide
if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
This is all pretty distressing stuff. And by the way, Mitchell has to take off to handle business matters, and therefore I'm unable to take calls today, so I shall persevere. Just to pick off roughly where we left off. China is 90% fully vaccinated if you believe the publicly available statistics. You literally have no choice but to receive the injections or starve to death in that country. And that's what they want to bring right here to the USA. China does not regularly publish excess death statistics. And even when it does, they are laughably fake. China claims only 4,600 excess deaths in 2021. Out of 1.4 billion people. I'd add three zeros to that, probably closer to 4,600,000, maybe in fact much higher. Further, the United Nations reported that India will surpass China as the most populous country in the world by mid-2023. That is mostly due to China's reported 2022 plunge in births and a reduced population for the first time since 1961. Search India on the COVID blog. People are literally dropping dead by the second there. India and China account for over 35% of all humanity. India started injecting its population in January 2021. Mostly with a COVID shield AstraZeneca viral vector DNA injections, the most deadly of them all, the side of Johnson & Johnson. As of March 2023, 95% of Indians age 12 plus have received at least one shot. By April 2021, truckloads of dead bodies being transported to morgues were so full that bodies were falling from the trucks onto the roads in Delhi. Someone died every 5 minutes that month, according to one report. The mass cremation videos from India in 2021 are very disturbing. Mainstream media, of course, blame COVID. The only reason the deaths slowed was India adopting ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine protocols in May of 2021, which, of course, the CDC, FDA, HIV all demonized. India, like China, is neither honest nor diligent about recording and reporting deaths. Based on the foregoing, our educated guess is at least 350 million total excess deaths in China and India from January 2020 to publishing today. Third reason, the kids die anonymously. The pattern is now well established. Vax zealot parents allowed their children to be injected multiple times and or feed their bodies vax breast milk. The child dies. Most parents blame ABV and play the ignorance victim card like Jessica Day Weaver. Some do the right thing despite their grief and warn other parents about the dangers of the lethal injections. The COVID blog will always support these parents in any way we can because they do not allow their children to die in vain. But the previous group now have established channels to attack anti-vaxxers, continue promoting the injection for kids, and get sympathy from other vax zealots. Regular readers remember Ms. Amanda Wachlak. She's a 35-year-old Washington, D.C. mother who received the injection while pregnant and fed her newborn vax breast milk. Little baby Z died suddenly and unexpectedly at 2.5 months old on September 27, 2021. Both NBC News and the New York Times gave Mrs. Makulik platforms to attack this blogger, blame ABV for her baby's death, and get support from other vax zealot. Here's an excerpt from the Times essay. Accounts for bullying. One site owner we contacted with a request to remove a blog post replied that he would never comply. He told us, most laymen do not understand the work that goes into content creation. People were making money from that image through clicks and shares while we had limited recourse. More recently, you all remember Billy Ball. His son, 7-year-old Jackson Ball, died from post-injection meningitis on January 4th, 2023. This time, it was The Atlantic that gave Billy a platform to attack this blogger, further promote the injection for kids, and play ignorant victim for a vax zealot audience. Here's what Billy said about us. I tried to push back. Please take the conspiracy theories elsewhere. I pleaded on Twitter. That made things worse, so I stopped engaging. A blogger mocked me for fleeing social media. Commenters joined in. My grief, their content. Your one job as parent was to protect your children, wrote one person. You failed miserably. Now Billy and Amanda are buddies. Billy Ball tweets, I never want to write this, but some stories you tell or they tell you. My 6-year-old son died. And the anti-vaxxers found out. Sending you, here's Amanda, then retweeting. Sending you solidarity from another parent who went through the same when we lost our son. I'm grateful that more parents have spoken out about this experience, so angry that we have cause to write these pieces. And the NBC News vax zealot grifter is receiving clicks from all this as well. Here's Brandy Zadronzi, thank you for writing this and sharing your son with us. I'm so sorry people are like this. I have to hope that someone will read this and choose to be better. The COVID blog has been clear from the start. Parents who lose children and warn others about the danger of the injection receive our full support. We'll link their fundraisers, interview them, pray with them, and more. We've also been very clear about the other side. It is incredibly painful writing post-injection death stories about babies who had no say in the matter. Granted, a lot of these vax zealot parents love the attention received from mainstream media platforms. But it appears our work is paying off in both good and bad ways. The good is we have received a lot more email these days from parents who simply want to pray after losing a child to the injections. Most do not want to go public for fear of losing their jobs, friends, and livelihoods. But all of them recently have deleted all vax zealotry from their social media channels. The bad is that more kids will die anonymously in Western countries. We've already seen many stories that simply state 6-year-old died suddenly without naming names or providing further details. The vague ABV language in said stories is also accelerating. It's becoming clear these vax zealot parents do not want to end up on the COVID blog. Thus, there are perhaps millions of kids dying that we never know about in the U.S., Canada, Australia, and Europe. Fourth, how many Dominic De Silvas are there out there? This was one of the most gut-wrenching, horrible stories we've ever written. It was an early indication of the cultish nature of COVID-19 and hateful vax zealotry. Ms. Dominic De Silva had everything going for her. She had just married in May of 2021, was highly successful in her real estate career. She received just one Pfizer mRNA injection on March 18, 2021. Her entire existence was flipped upside down from there. She essentially had severe Sean Skeleton syndrome. Ms. De Silva hesitantly posted videos of herself in a wheelchair with severe convulsions and more. She wanted to warn others about the dangers of the lethal injections, but she was attacked relentlessly by vax zealot trolls who accused her of faking the injuries. Part of their reasoning was because Ms. De Silva was still pushing normal photos of herself on Instagram, along with the injury photos and videos. She was a girly 30-year-old. That's what they do in the 21st century, particularly when faced with a crossroad of denial that she may be permanently maimed and accepting that her life was forever altered. Vax zealots also accused her of profiting from a fake injury. It got so bad that Ms. De Silva was forced to send GoFundMe medical records to prove her vax injuries. The proof was apparently satisfactory, as her GoFundMe page is still active today. The last sign of life from Ms. De Silva came via Instagram on March 18, 2022, 1 year after the Pfizer mRNA injection. It's quite sad to read. Queen City Dome 318, 1 year since my entire life changed. From the utter confusion and denial I was first faced with, to fighting to be believed and finding medical professionals who are willing to help, disregarding those who constantly question, challenge, and judge individuals like myself, and just trying to live life as normally as I know how, coexisting with the symptoms that frequently make day-to-day life overwhelming. However, despite it all, there are many positives that have come from this entire experience. I am slowly learning how to accept where I am right now, to never again take my health for granted, and to be genuinely grateful for everything I have, to make peace with the fact that there are things in life I will never be able to control, to be open to experiencing life in both its light and dark stages, to be able to make a mistake and learn from it rather than drown in regret. I'm learning how to simply believe in the person I'm evolving into, to make a choice to no longer be a victim of what I have gone through. This past year pulled a warrior out of me, and it is my greatest honor to be her. I can only hope that if this post does anything for anyone, it is for those struggling to make it out of bed every day. To those suffering, I know the trauma and pain this has caused you, the regret, isolation, and fear of not knowing what's next, the unfamiliar roads you've been faced with, the anxieties you've overcome, the sadness you've hidden from those around you, the strangers you've met and helped along the way. I see you fighting through this hell, but I can only hope that you see the strength you carry. I can only hope that you are genuinely proud of how far you have come, for how persistent you have been. I know that right now it can be hard to see any of the good in all of this, but one day we'll look back on how this entire experience has shaped not only our mental outlook on the world around us, but also changed the direction in which our lives were going, and hopefully for the better. After all, everything always shines so much brighter after being in the dark for so long. Wow. What courage and fortitude. We've tried contacting Ms. De Silva through various channels, but we cannot get a hold of her. She has completely disappeared from social media and her blog. Prior to the injection, she posted regularly about the housing market, her marriage, and her modeling-type photos. Ms. De Silva's story is similar to Ms. Stacy Trevenier, another early vax-injured victim who went public and was excoriated by vax-zealot trolls. She's still fighting the good fight. My opinion, De Silva's dead. That's my opinion. It became clear early on that if anyone went public with vax injuries, they would receive endless backlash, lose friends, family, their jobs, etc. They'd be labeled conspiracy theorists and anti-vaxxers. Thus, there are countless millions out there dead or suffering in silence to avoid all the foregoing. Well, at this point, if you're not a conspiracy theorist or better, a conspiracy realist, you have your head where the sun doesn't shine. We're surrounded by conspiracies all the time. It's the perps, the criminals who are perpetrating these conspiracies, who do not want them to be investigated or solved. And they do that by ridiculing those of us who are trying to sort out exactly what did happen. And the reason, of course, because it leads back to them. We've seen several stories, the blog continues, in 2023 of people hiding their loved ones' dead bodies, being found dead months after going missing, and so on. The people hiding bodies will eventually get caught in the U.S. and other Western countries. But we have no idea how much of this is happening in Africa, Asia, South America, etc. High-profile cases, like Princess Phajantkattabhaya of Thailand, just how far the powers that be will go to cover up vaccine deaths. She collapsed on December 14, 2022, after suffering a heart attack while walking her dogs. We're supposed to believe that Princess Phajantkattabhaya, 44, has been in a coma ever since the collapse. There have been no updates at all since January. We also have no idea what's going on with actor Jamie Foxx. He was hospitalized on April 12th in Atlanta due to an unspecified health crisis. However, It's widely believed the 55-year-old suffered a stroke. Mr. Fox required all attendees at his book tour in 2021 to show proof of vaccination. There have been no further updates on his condition as of publishing, except he's still hospitalized and healing. Fat chance. Fifth indication. A billion have died. Polio and famine in Africa. The World Health Organization declared the two primary strains of wild polio were eradicated worldwide in 1999 and in 2020, respectively. The third wild strain exists only in Pakistan and Afghanistan today. But headlines like the following have been everywhere since 2022. New polio cases in Africa as Malawi launches vaccine campaign. Burundi declares outbreak of circulating polio virus type 2. Mozambique declares polio outbreak after identifying first wild case in 30 years. Wild polio was declared eradicated from the entire African continent in 2020. So where is all this polio coming from? Just ask Bill and Melinda Gates. All polio cases in Africa today, which number in the untold millions, are derived from Bill Gates' oral polio vaccines. These concoctions cause paralysis and or death in God knows how many kids. It's Africa, not the U.S. Wheelchairs, Americans with Disability Act accommodation, etc., do not exist in most of Africa. A paralyzed child who cannot gather water and food for themselves and their families are essentially dead. Most Africans refuse the mRNA and viral detector DNA injection, but Gates and company can still convince them to get oral polio vaccines. These genocidal madmen openly admit they use Africans as guinea pigs for everything from mRNA injection to experimental aid treatment. These polio oral vaccines are open, blatant genocide. Yet nobody bats an eye. Meanwhile, the Horn of Africa experienced the driest rainy season, severe drought in over 70 years in 2022. We know the powers that be could easily manipulate the weather, create rain, and save all those people. But they don't and won't do it. In West Africa, more than 48 million people are on the verge of starvation, the most in over a decade. The nonprofit SOS Children's Village estimates that a total of 227 million are on the verge of starving to death across all of Africa today. That's about one in five across the continent. Oxfam International estimates one person starves to death every 48 seconds. Every 48 seconds in Africa. The combination of vaccine polio, severe drought, famine, perpetual war, fighting over crumbs, and even a few mRNA and viral DNA deaths makes an educated guess at 300 million excess deaths across the continents since 2020 quite conservative. Another billion gone by the end of the year? U.S. public schools have experienced record declines in enrollment since 2020. Some of that can be attributed to homeschooling due to all the weird homosexual curricula in California, Oregon, Washington, and other liberal areas. But at least 71% of Americans 12 to 17 years old have received at least one mRNA injection. That number is 40% for 5 to 11-year-olds. The 2022 World Cup was expecting 1.2 visitors in Qatar for the month-long tournament. Less than 800,000 showed up, while several journalists covering the event collapsed and died. Nearly all downtown areas in big U.S. cities are practically deserted. Granted, a lot of people are still working from home, but retail spending in downtown Boston was down 25% in 2022 compared to 2019. Downtown Pittsburgh has experienced a 50% reduction in workers visiting the downtown area from January 2020 to December 2022. Las Vegas welcomed 38.8 million tourists in 2022, down from 45.5 million in 2019. There can only be so many coincidences. Regardless, the powers that be want you to believe that the world's population increased from 7.8 billion in January 2020 to 8.028 billion today, despite nearly all countries reporting record excess deaths and record low births in that time period. Not to mention the polio vaccine and famine genocides in Africa. The powers that be have no problem insulting people's intelligence to ensure their narrative, the population is growing, remains uncalled and consistent. Most of the vaccine genocide deaths we're seeing now are those who received boosters in 2022, or the first two shots, or one Johnson & Johnson in the first 6 months of 2021. Again, all we can do is report what the experts and the victims say. Mitchell's back, so we'll be taking your calls in the next segment. 540-352-4452. Mitchell is back.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons in the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Mitchell, I'd like to draw you in on the following point, which was mentioned in passing, namely, the DNC isn't going to sponsor any debates during the primaries. I mean, how disgusting and revealing is that? Is it supposed to be America? We're supposed to be a democracy. They're not going to encourage any competitors to Biden. And, of course, we know he's just a fake. He's an actor wearing a latex mask. I don't think there's any question whatsoever, but what that is the fact. And now they're not even going to have any debates. I mean, this is so insulting to the American people. Mitchell, your thoughts?
Well, Jim, it's a bull grifters club. They went past bullshitting. Now they're just bull grifting. I wanted to say that, you know, today you can't see, or I should say you can't even say, whether the glass is half full or the glass is half empty, because it has been censored. One third of the people are told they are not worthy.
Mitchell, did I lose you?
No, I'm just gathering my thoughts in this message I was trying to put out here. One third of the people are told they're not worthy, because they're not of the right political stripe. Another third of the people are told that that they will never matter. And, you know, another third of the people are told that, you know, that that they are still slaves. And the 1/10 of the 1% of the 3/3, 3/4 of the thirds that are left are just the ones doing the talking and telling everybody they're not worthy. They're slaves, or they've always been found wanting. That makes sense?
Well, it does in the big picture. But I mean, just think of the Democrat Party not allowing any debates for the Democrat nomination. I mean, that is mind-boggling.
Well, if you believe that we actually have a functioning democracy, I mean, we have long been corrupted by the political deep state, and the media has long been the media propaganda arm of the New World Order. So, at some point, we all have to realize that, you know, we just didn't lose our country because of Trump was attacked by the deep state and is still being attacked by the deep state. We have to understand that we lost our government back when Jack was killed.
Yes, yes.
In the modern sense of this modern iteration of the New World Order and the control systems. So, you know, it's like 9/11. It's that revelation, you know, when 9/11 happened, I was working at the Booker T. Washington Park in Moneta, Virginia. And when, you know, the attack happened, they shut the park down because it is a national park and a federal property. And I went to my mother's house that wasn't but a few miles away. And my mother is standing there. Oh, my God, I can't believe, you know, she's dumbfounded. She's astounded, you know, by what she's seeing on TV, you know, whether how we conceive it now or not. But my mom says, I can't believe it. We had this massive terrorist attack. I said, well, we've been having terrorist attacks in the United States. It's just that the size of them haven't been as big, and the political angle, which was mostly abortion bombings and such at that time. You know, but people have to understand that we have always been at war. And because you don't think that you're at war, or you don't believe that you are at war with someone else, doesn't mean that that person or those groups are not at war with you. And I think that's one of the revelations that people really have to draw from the experiences of the last 20 years here in America.
By the way, well, we have our first caller on the line. I want to mention Tucker has made his first public comment since he was booted out of Fox. Former Fox News host Tucker Carlson issued his first public comment since it was announced he'd be departing the network earlier this week, appearing outside his home in Florida with his wife. Retirement is going great so far, he joked to the Daily Mail, which published photos of him and his wife outside his Boca Grande house while driving a golf cart, having dinner with my wife on a weeknight in 7 years. When asked about his future plans, Carlson again joked, appetizers plus entree. According to the Mail report, he drove away in the golf cart with his wife without elaborating on what he's going to do next. I've seen several rumors floating around, one that this smaller network out of San Diego is going to offer him $25 million. He was making $20 million at Fox. I've seen an Elon Musk suggestion that Tucker might come to Twitter. I have no doubt that Tucker is going to wind up on his feet and become a more powerful influence than he was even before, and that Fox is suffering massively indeed. There's a constant stream now of individuals leaving Fox, Fox Nation, getting the hell out, damning Fox, all of which is deserved. We have Brian on the line. Brian, give us your thoughts.
Well, when you talked about 9/11, I've mentioned it before. My brother, who's an airline pilot, before he was an airline pilot, he was an instructor pilot, and he instructed pilots from all over the world. And 2 weeks before 9/11, he got a call from two Israeli pilot friends that said, whatever you do in 2 weeks, do not go to New York City. So I always found that interesting. That was my first wake up as to something was wrong with 9/11. You know, that was a long time ago. And what's funny is he's a Christian Zionist, okay? And he wouldn't tell me this. His wife had to tell me. So anyway, so and then
his wife
I have
had
a
to
friend.
Tell you that he's a. His wife had to tell you he's a Christian Zionist.
No, that about the Israeli pilot friends. Okay, she, you know, calling. She knew about the Israelis calling, but he would not tell me. She had to tell me that what happened. So that's the only way I found out. So. Anyway, and I went there for Thanksgiving 3 or 4 years ago, and I brought up all this stuff. I drove 2 days to get there and got there at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and you know, we would always have our political discussions, and I was telling him everything I found out about Hitler that just didn't make sense. Like, you know, the fact that his bodyguard and chauffeur was Jewish, and, you know, all this stuff. And at the end of it, at 5 o'clock, he said, "I can't have anyone in this house who defends Hitler. You're going to have to leave." So I had to turn around in rush hour traffic the day before Thanksgiving and drive 2 days to get home and got caught in rush hour traffic. So it's really strained our relationship.
Well, I can sure see that. Yeah, Mitchell, your thoughts about Brian's experience?
Well, you can never convince anybody of your truth most of the time. And, you know, because we live in our own experiences and we see, most people don't see our experiences. So we view life through so many different lenses. And that's wonderful. I think that's great. But at the same time, it's used against us. So we have to agree to disagree. And we have to agree to be civil, and we have to agree to embrace our fellow man, or we will never learn anything about anything. Amen.
One other Brian. Thing I want to comment about, if I could.
Sure.
And David Scorpio brought this up, and I really noticed it around here. He was talking about how he was driving from his place, and he saw all these apartment buildings going up. And I'm watching all the Ukraine war stuff, you know, Bakhmut and all those other places. And it shows these apartment buildings, you know, that are getting bombed by the Russians and whatnot. The Ukrainians are in there because the height advantage. And I look at, I've got the same thing here. I've got around me, they knocked down a hospital and put up these apartments, and they remind me of what I'm seeing in the old Soviet Union. You know, they're about the same height. They're laid out the same. And in a residential neighborhood close to me, everyone in the neighborhood got bought out, or I don't know what happened, but the whole neighborhood became deserted. And there was a big gate put up, no trespassing on. What the hell's going on? Well, I drove by that neighborhood a couple days ago, and what's there but more Bakhmut, Ukrainian-style apartment complexes. And they're all laid out the same, and there's just so many of them. And then the other weird thing that's going on is I live on a busy street in the hood, okay? And you don't see people on their bicycles because that's a good way to get robbed or shot in this neighborhood. And what have they done? They've taken away one of our lanes of traffic and turned it into a bike lane. So now we only have one lane of traffic each way going through the neighborhood. And we've got these stupid bike lanes. And so I just know, I feel like it's communism taking place, the old Soviet Union right before my eyes. So anyway, I just thought you'd find all that interesting.
Well, it is communism taking place right before your very eyes and, you know, bringing in all these millions of illegals. Giving them the red card treatment, giving them health care, giving them the benefits of citizenship when they are not citizens and do not deserve it. One of the many ways George Soros is destroying America to fill his lifelong dream that America should be destroyed before he dies. And it seemed to me he's doing a hell of a good job of it. Brian, do you see a way out?
Well, I've explained to you that it's all coming to an end. What I'm doing now is I'm taking notes on what the Russians are doing to bring down those Bakhmut apartments, because, you know, one day we'll probably be taking the Bakhmut apartments down around me. I'll know how to call in the precision ammunition to hit them where it hurts. So that's my joke for the day. And I'm sure those apartments will be full of illegal aliens. So that's my guess, because there's so many of them. I mean, I can't imagine that many people needing rental. You know, it's definitely, I think they must be for all these people coming across the border, because it's just massive, the number of them. It would do Bakhmut, Ukraine proud how many we've got. So anyway.
Mitchell.
Well, you know, that's them shovel ready government projects you always hear about.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Well, it doesn't look good, but then the future is always tenuous. Economically, the U.S. World Reserve currency is going down the toilet.
Yes.
And most Americans don't realize how much that will affect their standard of living.
We have another caller on the line, 913 area code. Give us your first name and your state and join the conversation.
This is Johnny Seals, sir. You know, James,
good,
I just first want to start off by just thanking you. You know, guys that are talking and bringing things forward, we may not agree on everything, but I just want to say I may not have given you the respect you deserved the other day, but I apologize for that. And, you know, I do appreciate everything you've done. And if I may just reword what I was trying to communicate to you, it's such a difficult time to trust people that are coming out with the truth when they have ties to bad people, you know. And I'm not saying, you know, Tucker is good or Tucker is bad or Trump is good or Trump is bad. It's such a fine line, and we've been deceived so many times by people who claim to not have ties, and then we find out they have a tie. And that's why I have a hard time trusting anybody who has any connection whatsoever to bad people. And once again, I never meant to disrespect you in any way. And I do appreciate everything you do, because you guys are getting thinned out. You know, the group of people who want to come out and talk about anything is getting thinner and thinner by each day. And I just really appreciate, and I totally respect everything you guys do. And Mitchell, you made some very good, important statements just a few minutes ago. I must say, you know, we just need to be more understanding, and there is a way out of this, and that's through Jesus Christ.
Well, Johnny, I do appreciate these comments, and I did not take offense. I do agree. We're talking about, you know, both Tucker and Trump. I mean, they're human beings. They have their flaws. I mean, look how absurd it is that people would want to remove the name of George Washington from a school, or Abraham Lincoln, or Thomas Jefferson for one obscure reason or another. I mean, they're using events from the distant past to tarnish their good name today. And it's part of the culturist Marxist upheaval of our society, what's sometimes referred to as cancel culture, to leave us without an identity so they can remake society where everyone is treated exactly the same and we have no rights, especially no property rights. For capitalism is a figment of the distant past, where we're all on the government dole, where everyone is treated equally regardless of their talent or ability. I mean, it used to be a joke, but now we have social promotion in the schools, you know, kids who can't actually pass a grade level are being moved up just so they're not embarrassed by not being in the same class with others of their age. But it's ridiculous. These lowering of standards reduces us to the lowest common denominator across the board. And that's individuals who are not only not articulate, who cannot speak, who can't even read, much less add and subtract. There's a destruction of the level of education, a dumbing down of America, and it's going on wholesale. It's just outrageous. Your further thoughts, Johnny?
I agree with you totally, and I didn't think that you were upset at all. But I just wanted to be clear, you know, and like I said, I do appreciate everything you guys do, and it's going to be amazing to see what happens. I'd just say this. If the right was doing the right thing, there wouldn't be no left. And, hey, you guys have a wonderful evening. I appreciate
it. Oh, I'm real pleased you called in, Johnny. Brian, did you have any thoughts about Johnny's comments or Mitchell and Brian first?
Well, yeah, when you talked about how they're destroying our history, I think of Tartania, and that in the 1850s, the textbooks in this country listed that nation and talked about the history of this place and showed its flag and everything, and how they've completely erased it. And I was on Prepare for Change a few weeks ago, and it just blew my mind because they had a picture, this woman had a picture that showed all these Western style buildings. And there was a, you know, like an old Model T type vehicle on the streets. And then she said, where do you think this is? And, you know, I had no idea. And she said, this is Tokyo. And here's all these massive concrete buildings on Main Drag of Tokyo. And I think it's part of Tartania, and it's completely gone. And then she had a picture of an aqueduct, Roman style aqueduct, and that was in Mexico. And she had a picture of the last samurai on there. She was, I think, Japanese, and he was Western. He wasn't Oriental. So I thought, my God, just there's so much of our history that's just been obliterated, that we really know nothing about who we are, where we came from, what our true history is. So anyway.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. Mitchell, your thoughts?
Well, there's one thing for sure. Things will change, but they will stay the same. And in the direction, the general direction that we're going, that's a damning statement. And I don't know how we can pull back from the directions that we're heading, given the institutional corruption and the brainwashing that has already happened to the next generation.
Yes. Ugh. Fascinating. We're nearing the end. Let's have final thoughts from each of you. Brian, your final thoughts. What would you like to share with our audience today?
Well, I'm the optimist. I say that we're going into the age of Aquarius, and what we're really looking at is the death throes of the dark. You know, if you look at how crazy it's gotten over the years, it's like someone has stabbed a demon and he's just thrashing around dying. And I think that's what we're looking at. So I'm at least optimistic for the future.
Mitchell.
Oh, yes, Brian. Yes, I believe you are right. You know, we are seeing the throes of the death throes of evil, maybe is a good way to put it, as they get exposed and dealt with. One of the things that I don't know if Jim is aware of, but the U.S. for the first time in 40 years is going to station nuclear submarines in South Korea.
Really?
Yeah, that news has come out.
And is that supposed to be related to the threat to Taiwan by China, where we reversed our agreement that it's one China? I mean, I think we are handling this just about as stupidly as we have with Ukraine.
Well, we overthrew Ukraine in a coup. I mean,
that's right.
We've been at war in Ukraine since 2014. It's just nobody has defined it that way.
I think you got that right, Mitchell. I think you got that exactly right.
Yeah.
And again, I say Tucker's going to come out on his feed. I think Fox News is going down hard. I think there's nothing to be said that's positive about what Rupert Murdoch has done here. He took the one show I regularly recommended, in spite of the fact that Tucker has shortcomings. He may still believe 19 Islamic terrorists attacked the United States on 9/11. He may still believe Lee Harvey Oswald shot JFK. But he does so much good on so many other issues. And here he is coming out hard on the vax, going after Big Pharma. I believe that's the explanation that RFK Jr. hit the nail right on the head. When he said Fox was then worried between their sponsors, the fact that Big Pharma has so much money and control in this country, a potential lawsuit going after Fox by Big Pharma because Tucker was denigrating the vax, exposing the corruption of Big Pharma, all of which Tucker was 100% correct, just as he was 100% correct about Dominion machines being used to steal the elections. Just as Trump observed, that ought to have been an easy case to win. There's so much evidence out there. Look at the work of Ron Johnson bringing together experts, Mike Lindell, Dinesh D'Souza, 2,000 mules. We even have Wayne Allen Root reviewing all the techniques that the Democrats are using to steal elections, and now they're going to continue to bamboozle us. They're not even going to have debates for their candidates for president of the United States. I don't know how much more the American people can take, but frankly, the Democrat Party today is repulsive. It's undemocratic. It's un-American. It's the spearhead of George Soros' effort to destroy America, and it's moving forward apace. And if we don't do something about it, and soon, we're going right down the tube. We're going to be in the same situation as China, which I was describing here and reviewing how they've dealt with the COVID and the billion population that has been lost, the deaths that are not being reported. You're getting the straight skinny here. You're learning what's really going on. And it's terrible. It's pathetic. It's sad. It's tragic. We have to awaken to the reality that if we don't do something about it, and soon, we are going to be reduced to slaves, just as occurs in China. Every act we take will be monitored. We'll be left to starve if we don't behave the way we're directed. I say live free or die.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence...